Some elements of risk management may be counterintuitive. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. At the recent Pilot Training Reform Symposium in Atlanta, organized by the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, King School's co-founder John King addressed the safety panel for a few minutes on the topic of changing aviation culture through risk management training. Some of what he proposed to prepare pilots for safer flying was counterintuitive and thought-provoking. We'll play you those comments today.
What I want to talk about is it's time to make a cultural sea change in aviation. And I want to say, by the way, thank you all for being here, your aviation friends. The reason we are all here together is that we have something in common. And that thing we have in common is we care. We care about aviation, and we care about the people. To us, aviation is personal. Now, I want to ask you a question, and if you would, I'd like you to hold up your hand, and if the answer to this question is true, leave it up and look around the room. And here's the question. How many people in here know someone personally who was killed in a general aviation airplane? Please put up your hand, hold it up, leave it up, look around the room, and as far as I can see, it's 100%. And so these aren't numbers, these aren't statistics, these are people we care about, people who mean a great deal to us, and yet we've all known this, and over the last, I said 20 years, Bob said 10 years, there's been virtually no change in the general aviation accident rate. So it stayed the same, but I can tell you this. If you look at the people we talked about, the people you can think about, this is unacceptable. And it's been unacceptable for a long time, and it hasn't changed. So the question is, what do we do about it? And if we keep on doing what we've been doing, this is a little bit of a trite saying, we're going to get what we've been getting. And so we can't just keep doing what we've been doing. In fact, even if we work harder at it, we're not going to make a big improvement. We've got to change what we're doing. Doing it very, very well is not going to solve the problem. And as I said, what we've been getting is unacceptable. Now, the problem is that solutions to problems aren't obvious until after the problem has been solved. And what we think may be the solution may not be. And as a result, we keep trying harder and harder at this solution and not getting results. So I'm going to make three counterintuitive suggestions today. One is that we ban low airspeed phobia. And I want to suggest this more of as an example of trying to solve a problem and not getting the solution and trying harder at it. And we may not really have the solution to the problem. Second one is, and this is now pretty well known, I think we ought to ban the big lie. And that just means we need to come to terms with reality. And the third one is ban safety, with apologies to the name of this group. But I'll tell you why I think we ought to ban safety. And if we do these things, I think we'll make big inroads into solving the problem. First of all, one-third, and the numbers depend on how you group things. It may be more or less than one-third. But one-third of all fatalities come from stalls and spins while maneuvering. So the first solution to that might be, well, we've got a problem training people on slow flight, and maybe we need to have a better job of slow flight. And I'm going to say, all right, so therefore, the counterintuitive solution is we should tell people to slow down when they're maneuvering. Now, that is counterintuitive because most people think stalls and spins come from flying too slow. I'm going to suggest that the majority of stalls and spins come because people fly too fast. Now, how could that be? Well, if you're flying slow and you're coming up on a stall, it's pretty easy to recognize it. The controls get mushy. The air noise decreases. and the airplane buffets to let you know you're about to stall. In most aircraft, you have a stall warning of some kind. So it's pretty obvious. There are people, Colgan Air, I guess, stalled the airplane by flying slow. It can be done. In a heavily wing-loading air-loaded airplane, you don't get as many of these warnings. But think about what happens when you stall in a steep bank with increased load factor. Now you have much less warning. The controls aren't mushy. The noise is still at the usual level. Remember, you're at a higher speed. And the buffet gives little, if any, warning. And all of a sudden, bam, you're in a stall. If it's uncoordinated, it turns into a spin. And you lose hundreds of feet. And if you're doing this from base to final, you're on the ground and don't know what happened to you. So what the problem is flight instructors are afraid that their students will stall. And so what they do is they tell them to fly faster. They add a little margin on. And the result is that you have huge patterns, steeper banks, an increase in load factor. And it's that load factor is the problem. So I think in part we ought to be, instead of telling pilots, drilling people over and over again endlessly on slow flight, obviously we've got a problem. People are getting killed in stall spin accidents, so they need to be more aware of when the airplane's going to stall. They need to do slow flight. They need to practice slow flight. I think we're working on a problem that isn't the solution. I mean, we're working on the wrong solution to the problem. So what we just need to think about, the things that we think are the solutions, maybe they are not, and maybe that's why we're not solving the problem. For example, if you look at the bottom of this graph down here, is the speed of the aircraft, and the line is the radius of turn in feet. So obviously, as you speed the aircraft up, by having the students fly a little faster, the radius of turn required to make the turn increases geometrically. Huge increase in radius of turn required. And so therefore, in order to make a path over the ground, people fly in steeper banks. Okay, let's see what happens when you increase the bank angle. Across the bottom of this chart is the bank angle. And the red line is what I call the required speed in knots. It's stall speed plus 30%. That's the normal approach speed that the FAA recommends people fly. So we've got a stall speed plus 30%. And of course, as you increase the bank angle, in order to maintain a 30% margin over stall speed, you have to increase the speed. And when you do that, the blue line is the slant distance to a pivot point on the ground. You're trying to pivot around something on the ground. You're looking down on the ground. You're trying to pivot it. As you increase your bank angle and increase your speed, the distance to that pivot point increases geometrically. So if you're trying to follow something on the ground, it doesn't do you much good to increase your bank angle, because in order to stay safe, you have to increase your speed, and you increase the distance from your pivot point enormously. So if you look at the blue line, the bottom of the blue line is 45 degrees of bank. And what I'm saying in this graph is that there's no reason for anybody to ever fly more than 45 degrees of bank. Just period. But if you limit the bank to 45 or less, you also limit the load factor, and you virtually get rid of the problem. And so what I'm saying is, what we need to do is teach people to fly slower, but be more load factor aware. It's load factor that causes the problem, because very, very few people lose control of the airplane at 1G. So we just need to make people load factor aware. All I'm suggesting here is that sometimes your solutions are counterintuitive.
In a moment, John King addresses General Aviation's Big Lie. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020. Welcome back to the ANN special feature. From the Pilot Training Reform Symposium, John King is talking about three counterintuitive changes to aviation culture which could move the needle in improving the GA accident rate.
Okay, so we need to ban the big lie. If we ban the big lie, it will increase sales, strengthen the industry, because accidents are obviously bad for the industry. Okay, the big lie is the most dangerous part of the flight was the drive to the airport. We tell that to our spouses. We tell that to people who ride with us in the airplane, but let's not tell it to ourselves. The airplanes are not safe things. It's irresponsible and intellectually dishonest to characterize airplanes as altogether safe. We want people to feel safe and comfortable, so therefore we tell them that flying is safe. We should not be doing that. What we should do is tell people that pilots cause accidents. 85% of accidents are caused by pilots. You're five times more likely to be involved in a fatal accident caused by the pilot than some mechanical problem with the airplane. And by the way, accidents, as Bill said, are really caused by the EQ, not the IQ of pilots. If we know someone who got killed, a local pilot got killed at the airport, very few of us are surprised when the local pilot got killed because we've been watching this guy's behavior. We saw it coming. It's because, not because we thought he was stupid, but because we worried about his EQ, his emotional quotient. Say, I'll give you an example. Pilots flying VFR in bad weather. Low-time pilots are more comfortable with it than high-time pilots, and non-IFR pilots are more comfortable with it than IFR-rated pilots. So what happens is people get more comfortable with risk, and the less you know, the more comfortable you are. So what we need to teach instead is risk management. Now, another counterintuitive term is I think we ought to ban safety. Because we use safety as a platitudinous term. We say safety is the number one priority. Well, if safety were the number one priority, we'd never get airborne. We wouldn't fly the airplane. So we will not compromise with safety. Horse feathers, we compromise with safety every time we get out of bed. We compromise with safety in everything we do. It's always a trade-off. We will accept only one level of safety. Well, there's no way in the world a general aviation airplane can be as safe as an airliner. There's obviously different levels of safety. So when we talk about safety, we lie about it all the time. And we have a habit of lying about it. So we use it as an expression of goodwill, have a safe trip. It's like saying have a good day. But we ought to change our vocabulary and give up the word safety in general aviation because it's nothing specific. It doesn't tell me what to do. It doesn't give me anything to solve the problem. So I need guidance, and that's why we're saying we should do risk management instead. We should learn to identify and manage risks and teach pilots to do that. We can still say have a safe trip, just that we just know that it's an expression of goodwill, but it doesn't tell me anything to do. So what we need to do is create scenario-based training that makes people make decisions from day one in their flying. And so scenario-based training will make the difference because, as Bill said, being a good risk manager is a habit, and it's a habit that you learn from the start, just like pre-flighting the airplane, and we need to inculcate that into people. And so, once again, our three counterintuitive solutions: ban low airspeed phobia, number two, ban the big lie. We've got to admit the truth. If we don't admit risk, we're probably not going to do a good job of managing them. And finally, ban safety because it's not a useful term. It doesn't tell me what to do. We should focus on risk management instead, and we should train risk management from the very first day of flying. Thank you very much.
John King is a co-founder of King Schools. He referred to some diagrams during his presentation. You can find the PowerPoint slides used during the safety panel under the Symposium Output tab at www.pilottrainingreform.org. There's also a synopsis of John's talk at cirruspilots.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.